The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Take a Stock on Tuesday, the 22nd of August, 2023. I'm here with Cashmere John. John, it's warmer today, and you're wearing like your jumper. What's going on there?
Yeah, I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Are you? Yeah. Okay. All right, then. Fair enough. And yeah. By the way, by all means, hit that subscribe button if you could on Vox there on our channel on YouTube. We are going to take a break, a little break for a while. And if you get lots of subscribers, we'll come back. But if we do, we won't bother. But so hit that subscribe. Are we coming back? Definitely.
Yeah, we definitely coming back. September. Okay. Early September.
And in fact, that's part of the reason, I'm looking at this, let's look at the stats here. And I'm sure we were having an off-air discussion there about the stats of market returns, for September to April and from April to the rest of the year. And I was under the belief that the returns are better generally in the winter months of the year. That's from mid-September onwards, or especially from November, December up to April. And then it does sort of roll over a little bit. But what are you saying? It's not the case, is it?
No. There is definitely seasonality. But my observation would be that it's not consistent. So, yeah, you generally have stronger months later in the year. I mean, you have things like the Santa Claus rally, which sometimes comes.
Has he been? I know, for the last few years.
Yeah, quite. But exactly. So there is seasonality, for sure, but it's not consistent. So, if you want to play the market with market timing and try and take advantage of that seasonality, you can never be guaranteed in any one year that it's going to work the way you think it is.
Yeah.
And, generally speaking, I alluded to this old adage the other day, time in the market is much more valuable than timing the market. Timing the market is very hard, and even the best investors, generally shy away from that strategy.
Yeah, and that's based, those stats are all based, of course, on indices. And literally, it's a stock market. It's a market of stocks, ladies and gentlemen. That means there's plenty of stocks in there where there's plenty of opportunities. There's always cheap companies. There's always an opportunity. And in fact, they say that sort of July, August generally is not very good. I've had a very good July and August, actually, as far as the market's concerned. I've had quite a few nice, decent rises, which have been massively oversold. So it's done okay for me. So, yeah, you shouldn't generalize on these stats, because stats is on the indices, not on individual stocks.
There's also how you interpret it. I mean, the adage was originally selling may go away, come back on St. Ledger's Day, that's sort of late September. But the Americans look at October, they call it the Halloween effect. So, I mean, when we look at the performance of these various, timing strategies, I think often it's been comparing like with like.
Yeah, that used to be the time. Basically, that went back to when old investors, traders were super rich and they could afford to take the summer off,
That's
and,
right.
And literally, they say, right, we'll come back for St. Ledger's, then we'll get out of the market.
Lies, lies. Oh, blimey. While he's doing that, lies and damn statistics, going back to a Mark Twain quote. You can make stats tell you any story you want.
Sorry, I'm not so on here. I did the fallers today. Ocado, Associated British Foods, Melrose Industries, Unilever rises on the FTSE. Is Fresnillo, of course, Silver, Glencore. It's a lot of miners today. So we are.
Yeah,
I'm going to be sneezing.
You generally get a bit of a bounce back when you've had some down days. Yeah. And obviously, as we spoke about the other day, the down days are very much based on the fact that China's economy is slowing rapidly.
I can't stop sneezing. I think it needs to take some time off.
But bless you.
Yeah, by all means, get involved in that survey. Do you pay any attention to seasonality and selling may go away, come back, see you today?
What do the results say so far? What's the general consensus on that?
I don't know. let's have a look here. Let's have a quick look. So I've got...
No,
87% pretty much.
Yeah, general consensus, which I would agree.
Good. Okay. Subscribe there. By the way, if I can get through this. Right, Steve on comment says, Justin, John, please keep doing your show. I've learned so much.
The sneezing show.
Yeah. Thanks, he said. Would really appreciate your thoughts on
this. This is the best one, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell us live. Your thoughts on base resources. Let me just say one thing. We're not into resource stocks that much.
I don't hold any. I mean, I do keep an eye on them, you know, because obviously resources, commodities are an important part of the global economy. This is quite a big one. I was just looking at that top line. What is it? Australian mineral sands.
Heavy mineral sands, yeah. And I never really understood this, but...
I'm looking at the forecast and they're going backwards and I don't know why.
I looked at that. That's worrying. The forecasts are dropping in revenue. I don't know why that is. So maybe that's why it's come off. And in fact, what did Steve say? Steve did say, share prediction of 37, currently 10 pence, and a 30% potential dividend yield. That's pretty wide. If they're giving cash back, are they winding down operations? What's happening there? Yeah, sometimes that can happen.
That would be the only explanation. I need to have a look at this one in more detail. But I mean, the first thing I did, as I mentioned, is my approach is quickly go to the numbers and the most recent news flow, but looking at those numbers. And the first thing I saw was the top line revenues, you know, forecast to contract quite sharply in the years ahead. So I want to go away and have a look at that in more detail.
And just looking at sort of forecasts here, analyst rating. So they got one buy analyst rating on this, but they are showing a strong buy, 96% up from where we are now at 93 pence. So I don't know what that is, but if you look at the chart, it's... I'll show you the chart. It's in a bit of a downtrend. And I did put this on. You can see here, previous support here pretty much at what, 11 pence? And it's broken down here. Well, trying to rally off that once there. Came back up, broke down. Below that level is 10 pence there. It's trying to break back above that now, but it's struggling. So, but it is above 50-day moving average. But I'd like to see it get above this, you know, previous support back here, 11 pence and above 200-day moving average. And then you may see something going in the right direction. But I said, what I didn't understand was, revenues going down over the next few years, so unless they're returning money to shareholders because they're winding down operations somewhere. I don't know. There has been a reduction in their resources in the last recent update. But listen, we're not over resource stocks that much. All right. So if you can tell us what's happening, that would help us.
Yeah, I will have a look at this because it seems like a curious situation.
Okay. By the way, someone's asked us to look at Anexo and, what is it, Bodycote. Boy is it. Yeah. Anexo. Now, Anexo, I've had them on the podcast quite a few times, a while back, and they did have that claim against, you know, Volkswagen, a diesel emissions claim. I think they're expecting to get a lot more for that. But
the business is nice. You know, it's a good business.
Well, they came out with results today and then interim results. So let's have a look through them.
Basically, what it does is hire vehicles for no-fault accidents. And it's moving into various other spaces as well. I mean, it's obviously doing the emissions claims, but it's doing essentially social housing claims against, poor properties, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So these are the results today. There's a H1, 77. That's right. And profit before tax, 15 million. And someone did say, why are they valued at this? Remember, though, that's seven. I always look at enterprise value because it's sort of more accurate, you know, valuation. If you're going to buy a business, you want to know how much debt and cash they've got. So enterprise value does that. It adds the debt on because, of course, that's the cost and removes the cash. Now, if you do that, then they've got about 57 million quid worth of debt. And they got about 7 million quid of cash. So really, the enterprise value is 121 million. If you look at, I was looking at the profit after tax, it's about 10 million. So if you just double that for the full year, 20 is 20 million, that's still a PE of 6. So it's not like, it's still quite cheap if they're growing. Like I said, maybe there's a bit of worry about that debt.
The debt. That will suppress the sort of value of the equity. Because as you say, the underlying business is worth 150 million quid, but half of that belongs to the bank, in essence. So what the company's doing, and I think the shares are up quite sharply today.
Yeah, there we are. They're up 10% today. And
what's happening is that, the company itself recognises that, debt has become an issue. And so what they're really trying to do is focus on cash collection. They're really, trying to deliver only the most profitable bits of the business or the most profitable business. And that's having an effect. So if you look at the numbers today, you'll see that, cash collection's up, debt, it's moving in the right direction. So you go, 15.7 net cash from operating activities. Really significant improvement there in cash flow, and cash is what matters, ultimately, at the end of the day. It's the only thing you can't really lie about when you're putting the accounts together. Business here is good. And actually, that focus on cash collection is addressing the problem that is probably suppressing the value of these shares.
So they're reducing that. They do say they're addressing, net debt, significant reduction in net debt, 61 million. It's down from 74. So they are looking at that and they are addressing that. I understand that. As far as the charges, I quite like that. I mean, it's come down a long way. I mean, look at that. It's come from 150, even higher than that previously, 150, say, down to 60 expense. And, it's broken the 50 moving average. And now it's above a previous high, that range. So it's quite nice. So hopefully this may be the bottom. Who knows? It may bump along there, but it's that's definitely broken out of a range. You can see that in rise today. Whether some people will be taking profit now, I don't know, but that's a good start on the chart.
And there's some, as I say, the new business line, the housing disrepair, big issue. A lot of people in poorly managed rental properties. There's a lot of business to come that way. Obviously, it didn't get quite as much in the VW case it wanted, but it's got a class action against Mercedes coming up, 12,000 people involved in that. And as I say, the core, hire business is being refocused to be much more cash generative. And so if that debt keeps coming down, the value of the equity will rise.
Okay. Another request. I don't know if you know much about Bodycote. So it's a, 1.2 billion pound company.
Yeah, big old engineer.
Engineer there. And what he done? So I said, have a look at this. I've done, the results came out a while back. They were very good. Where are the interim results? 6 months. Here we go. So, all seems to be, going in the right direction. And I even thought maybe it's the outlook. Because the share price, if you look at the share price, it hasn't really, it's come down off after those results. And sometimes it travels towards that, of course, expecting that. I did look at it. I thought maybe the outlook is bad, but the outlook isn't bad. No. They're quite confident in the outlook. Normally, you can see when a company releases these seemingly good results, because they're backward looking anyway, they're 3 to 6 months out of date, and they're looking forward. That's what people care about. And they give a gloomy outlook that shares can take a hammering, but the outlook isn't that bad. And they say, looking beyond 2023, the board remains confident in the group's prospects for continued profitable growth. So any thoughts on this, Johnny boy?
Yeah, it's a nice company. I mean, the UK is the UK market has plenty of these, very specialist niche engineers. I say niche. 1.2 billion sounds big, but in the grand scheme of things, it's fairly niche. When you think of the size of someone like Siemens over in Germany. But this is it's a nice company, and what's the valuation looking like? I mean, I don't think it's massively expensive. 15 times. I mean, it's not cheap. Coming down though as earnings rise. Borrowings again are a bit of an issue, but on the way down. And that's probably holding the shares back. I'm just looking at this, the last reported borrowings. What were they at the interims? I mean, I'm looking at 100 million on an overview.
I'm just looking at the analyst rating here. It's an average here target price of 25% upside. So it's £8.2. There's one our analyst saying it's a sell. At six quid is giving it, so that brings it down. But one of the analysts has got £10, so 56% up. So, of course, with a big company like this, you're not going to get a huge upside, but the chance that upside is more likely, a higher probability than, say, a micro cap where you're going for, say, 6,000% or something. So, because it's a lot more risk involved in that. So, say it's, here, chart wise, it's not a bad thing because, if you look at this, it has been sort of moving up, higher lows, pretty much. It's a little bit worried. It's touched 200 moving average here. So I don't know. Maybe have a bit of patience with it if it's not doing too badly, because, it does tend to have these sell-offs. Like you say, it comes down, touches the 200 moving average, and moves back up. So maybe it'll do that. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's got, like all engineers, a bit of exposure to China, which I think might create a few dishes. The exposure to Germany is obviously sort of indirectly exposure to China and the economy. So I guess, sometimes you get really good companies. I'm just thinking forecast P13, which, in the current market, I mean, it's, in the context of history, that doesn't sound expensive, but at the moment it's not cheap. Compared to the US, it's very, very inexpensive, and that sort of speaks more of the UK market than anything else. But even very good companies And I'm not saying Bodycote isn't, it is a good company. But, you know, I'm looking, just thinking back, sort of just before the sell-off really happened, you had companies like Spirax Sarco, and, you know, Oxford Instruments, and, you know, all of these companies, Judges Scientific, you know, specialists. And their valuations, their ratings got massively ahead of themselves, you know. So you were talking sort of 40 or 50 times earnings for these companies that were very good, but sort of not growing anywhere near quickly enough to justify those sort of ratings. Yeah. And what you have seen is massive ratings compression. You know, what I suspect is that it will take time for anything like that level of ebullience to come back. And, you know, so good company. I mean, that's a decent uptrend there at the end. But I wouldn't expect it to sort of motor away from here.
Yeah, and you can't see, let's be honest. I mean, you know, from June, the results there, it's August, it did rally a little bit, so maybe it's because coming off from that, people are taking a bit of profit. Okay, this is the front page of Vox. Eagle Eye partners with major Canadian retailer for loyalty program revamp. Eagle Eye, I have looked at these before, I was thinking, and they're seemingly quite cheap, I thought. No, I didn't really look into them. I thought, all right, it didn't really care. What do they do, John?
It's software, so it's sort of loyalty programs, mainly for... So this news today is with a big Canadian retailer, online and physical store presence. There you go, Hudson's Bay. But they recently did a deal with Morrison to introduce a loyalty card. Long overdue, I hasten to add. I have no idea why Morrison's hasn't really gone down the sort of club card route more aggressively, probably why the performance of that supermarket was so bad for many, many, many years. Working with John Lewis on a revamped loyalty program. So, yeah, that's what they do. And they do it well. And, you know, the company's forecast to grow quite quickly. So, you know... let's say.
Well, their forecast to go up 43 million for the year, top line revenue up 36%, adjusted EBITDA up 32%, closing net cash. So, obviously, good to see cash going up there. That's
nice. And, again, you know, it comes back to that point we made earlier on. You know, cash is king. If you see companies generate cash, then I say generating, I don't mean raising cash and then putting a higher net cash position, cash from operating activities. Then you know you've got something interesting to look at. And then I'm looking at the forecast, and the growth is pretty punchy. It's sort of into 23, 36% turnover growth, you know, really quite substantial levels of pre-tax profit this year, you know, from sort of cusp of break-even, and then really continues to grow much more quickly than that beyond. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah,
well, look at
pretty,
that, right?
Pretty poorly covered.
Yeah, look at that. So in the last 651 days, it's done a 466% rise. Now, let's look at this compared to AIM, for example, right? And I've got this thing here. In the last 715 days, AIM has gone down by 44%. So I don't know if it's on AIM. Is it Eagle Eye?
Is it on AIM? I assume it is, yeah.
LSE. No, LSE.
Oh, sorry. Is it? Okay, sorry.
Anyway, what I'm saying is it, you know, it's in that small cap space, sort of, you know, 159. But I said, look at that. That is a huge drawdown in almost 2 years now since the top of the market. Done 45% down pretty much for an indices. That's quite scary. But it's nice to see something going the opposite direction.
But I guess
against trend, you know?
I guess this goes back to that thing we've been saying for quite a while, you know, and that is that in a bear market, everything gets sold off. You know, very few companies that aren't affected by a sell-off. But that does create opportunity, as you've said on several occasions. And the question is finding the gems, the hidden gems, the diamonds in the rough. Because a lot of stuff that's sold off is sold off because it's bad. But there will be stuff that's sold off not because it's bad, just because it's part of the wider selling pressure. And you know, this looks like one of them.
Yeah, this is just a notification on Seed. I always look at charts that are hitting recent highs. That is Seed, which is an investment company, pretty much. It's been talked about quite a bit on Twitter, but it seems to be breaking out there. If it gets above that, like I said previously, it's been here before. But if it can get above that, that's quite good news there. Seed Innovations.
I thought you said C for a minute there, because they had
seen. Seeing machines. Let's look at those, because they have had some news out today, and and in fact, I think it's one of the most read on the front page.
It is definitely.
The thing I worry about this is that the key financial highlights is reported revenue is all good growth, 57 million, 49% increase. Okay, analyzed recurring revenue is up, strong balance sheet with cash at 36.8 million. Okay, that's good. So I went back to their last set of results. Remember that 36.8 million. That's in June, okay? So if you go back to the results back here and you think, okay, where's the last of results? Where's the last of results here? Scroll down. Hang on. A lot of directors buying by the look of it. Half-year financial report. Strong balance sheet at 52. Oh, okay. Well, it's gone down pretty much in 6 months. It's gone down by what, 16 million? So
this is high.
I do like the company. I mean, they do you want to explain what they do? Because I can't.
It's basically driver monitoring. So you know, it's not autonomous driving, but it's using AI to basically keep an eye on drivers and make sure, you know, they're not falling asleep at the wheel or doing anything stupid. And they work with, you know, fleet customers and you know, cars for sales and retail. They work with sort of public transport networks, and there's a nascent aviation division, but you know, it's basically a safety product, and you know, it's new. I mean, my car's 5 years old and it doesn't have it. I just get a little beep to tell me that I've been driving for too long and I ought to stop for a little bit.
Do you know what I did have a while back? not the car I got now, but literally the two cars back. I think it was a Golf actually. But it's like, I used cruise control a lot on the motorways. I think if you see how erratic drivers are, everything should be autonomous now. Humans are idiots. Absolutely. I'll put my cruise control on and I'll put it on at 10% minus two. Okay. So I know 10% plus two is the speed limit, pretty much. 79. So I got 75. I'll put 70, right? And I will have people, right, overtake me, and I'll be in the middle lane. So come back, you know, come into my lane and slow right down. And then, hang on, I'm in 70. You've just done 80, you passed me, and you're slowing down. And I have to brake now. You idiot. And also, every time going up a hill, cars generally slow down. Going down a hill, they speed up. And you realize that's what causes crashes. The inconsistency of distance between people, braking. We need automation. I used to have a VW Golf. They used to do all that. It put in cruise control and it would speed up and slow down. You keep like 100 yards distance between the next car. I used to love that.
You're making a bold case for seeing machines here.
Humans are idiots.
And I suppose that could be the summary investment thesis for seeing machines.
There'd be no crashes on the roads if it was all autonomous, because you'd have like 200 metres in between each other, doing 150 miles an hour, all cars could, because you wouldn't have any erratic braking, because that's what causes crashes. People at the backside of their cars, slowing down, speeding up. You wouldn't have that with autonomy. You wouldn't have that, honestly. They're a lot safer than humans. Humans are idiots. Just put your car on cruise control on the motorway and see how erratic people are. They'll speed up, overtake you, pull in front of you, brake almost. What are you doing?
I'm going to make one observation about what you've just said. Middle lane. Get out the middle lane.
No, I'll go in the slow lane. I won't go in the slow lane. I'm saying, you just see that more often, people just pulling in, you know, overtaking you, slowing right down. What are you doing? Or they'll be right at your backside, they'll slow down. And so, yeah, it's just erraticness.
Seeing machines, you know, so this is, it's really, you know, motoring, again, no pun intended. Profits due 25, pre-tax profit 2025. Yeah, it's got to spend big to get there. This is, you know,
it's
making massive progress. I mean, cars on the road, you know, there's a million cars on the road with this technology in them now. It's 140% year-on-year jump, and the annual volume increase is 640,000 vehicles. So, you know, lots and lots of opportunity here, because there are obviously a lot more cars on the road than that. And you know, you can retrofit this as well. So there is I like it. So it's nice.
Well, do you know what? It is an erratic charge, really erratic, but it needs to get above that 200 moving average. It tends to get above that and come back down. So, when you have a company that's burning a lot of cash, it's quite worrying, because if you look at it, they did 32 million in 6 months. That cash is pretty much they're going to need to raise more cash unless they really cut down on the spend, you know? So,
if that top line really starts to motor.
Yeah, go on.
No, the top line, you know, what we've got, sort of 55 million this year, 62 and a half a year after, 87 and a half the year after that. So, you know, so you're sort of getting a bit exponential there, if it hits its forecast.
Well, Myriad, another one. I do like the tech and all that stuff, but I mean, the top line isn't growing that much.
Going backwards. Well, no, it isn't going backwards. I tell a lie. But I mean, it's gone backwards in its key market, which is the US. Pulled out of China. So there's big strategic reviews to save money. Pulled out of China to focus on the US, which makes sense. But the problem they faced is that the US advertising market is in a bit of a mess at the moment. We've seen that with S4. We've seen that with... who was the other one? Tremor, you know, the ad serving provider that had some terrible numbers the other day. You know, it's made some sensible steps that arguably it should have made earlier. So, you know, it's moved to programmatic, so it takes a lot of the manual grunt out of selling this stuff. It's really increased the number of agency partners it has. It's working with Microsoft to develop this into an enterprise product. And, you know, this could deliver some growth, much more rapid growth later this year. But shareholders have to be very patient with this one.
Yeah, I mean, look at this rise here. Back in May, they announced some kind of results, and they had like a top load of cash. Brilliant!
Well, they were trying to sell a business.
Yeah, and the cash was worth more than the company. That's right, and the cash was more than the company. Pretty much. So it rallied like 400%, and now we got back down to below that. But what I did look at, if you look at the financial results, we are talking, £3 million, £4 million company, pretty much, interim results. This is for half year.
£6 million revenue, in the bank, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, £10 million in the bank.
Oh, okay. So $500,000 of revenue. So let's say they do, let's be generous and say they can do 600,000 per year. Let's say they do 1.3 million maybe. But
they do say that the second half is going to be a lot quicker. It's a seasonal market.
Let's say $2 million, but closing cash at the year end of $9.8 million, no debt. They could have forecast from May to August 2024. They do see that, so they got a year of cash pretty much.
They've got to have a good Christmas. That's basically what it boils down to. They've got to have a good Christmas, otherwise, you know, they might need to be back for more money next year.
Yeah, they did say, look at that, the cash burn pretty much. They could get down to $700,000 per month for 12 months, and I thought, well, that's still $8.4 million a year. And you got 9.8 left, so you're gonna have to cut something a lot more than that.
It's such a good technology platform. It's in program advertising, so contextual advertising within a program. So it doesn't, you know, you don't have those linear ad. It's not like linear telly. There's no ad breaks to interrupt the viewer, and therefore the advertising, the product placement, the virtual product placement is much more effective. And they've done a lot of research with a company called Kantar, which is a media research specialist, and you know the results of what it does are spectacular, and that is why it works with some very, very large, you know, advertisers from retailers, you know, automotive, household.
I like the
products.
Way you hit the desk, John. Automotive, red tanker. Yeah.
So it's just a question of it has to have a good Christmas. It has to.
Well, we all want a good Christmas, don't we?
Yeah, we all want. But this company, it matters because, you know, that cash lasts till August next year.
It's Kickbox chart. They've did an AGM statement today. AGM statement. Yeah, board update. It said franchise like-for-like sales increasing 6.8% first 17 weeks. Increase of 5.4% for like-for-like last time. The strong balance sheet of like 7.9 million. The chart is in a bit of a range. It dropped massively. Bit of a mess up with the sort of reporting there and the CFO, so I have to step down. But he said that's a resistance level, pretty much is 151, which is it's hovering around, broke above it, but it's come back down a little bit. So at least that is, to me, is the end of a downtrend. How far up I can go, I don't know, but it seems like an end of a downtrend there. Have you had any of their cakes, John?
I haven't. I've never seen one. Okay. Never seen one.
Egg free, aren't they? So there we are. Paul Hill's got an interview there with the guy there. Sukh Chamdal and Michael Botha. Looking quickly at the most followed Aptar, but they've raised some money. Powers Energy, in fact, that's the most read as well. They've raised £1 million. This is one of the 10 bags I missed out on. This, Audioboom, and Argo Blockchain was three companies I got bored with. I was convinced they were going to go to the moon. As soon as it got out, they did. So,
Justin's selling indicator again. I had a quick peek at Powerhouse.
It's promised for so much for so long, John.
Yeah, do you know what? It brought to mind something we were talking about last week, which was Ektek. Ektek doing waste to syngas. You know, its ultimate aim is to not operate the plants that its technology is in, but provide technology and service to them. powerhouses seems to be going the other way. So they tried to build a licensing model for its waste to electricity technology. And now it's decided, or earlier this year, decided to operate the plants itself. Sounds expensive. Yeah. Sounds very expensive. And what did they raise, £1 million?
Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, that's as far as I'm going to go. You know, let's by the way, a couple of comments here quickly. Matthew Roberts, any more ideas, John? Samiro, I bought when you sold. Facilities ADF, I bought after the strikes. You'd highlighted and got quite a few under 40, about 35% overall, 5 weeks. Oh, ADF is doing well, is it?
Yeah, do you know, I've been looking at that. So when it was really sold off quite heavily. You know, I was must have been about 30% down on that position. And yeah, there you go. Look at it bounce back. I wish I bought some more.
Adrian Matthews jumping on your coattails here, John. It's annoying that. Don't say anything. Anything else you bought? And Samira, how's that doing, by the way?
I'm out, so I'm looking at it. It's languishing still. Where is it? Still down about £3. Thereabouts.
It's that big sell-off. And then, that support level there, pretty much at 350.
Yeah. That chart's got to turn around. And as I said, I need to see some trading catalysts there. It's a good company. I heard somebody mentioned that there's some worries about competition. Okay. I would have thought the biggest competition is a bloke with a big scaffolding board walking backwards.
Yeah.
it's a big wellies.
Matthew says, any more boring companies that have sold off? This is where the value is in my opinion. No, any companies that sell off potentially. I've got an iron one right now and it's sold off massively. And I'm not going to tell you what it is yet because I want to see the trading update. But it's in a very good area, but I think it's now cheap. And when you get in there, you can see the forecast, you know, profits of this company looking cheap. If they confirm that, it's going to work. The TJ09 says best UK dividend stock, one pick each. I don't want to pick one. I'm going to pick my fund, which I've got. IUKD is ticker. It has all the highest yielding FTSE 100 and 250 stocks in there, and you get paid quarterly. And it's an ETF, so you can buy into that, you know, like a trader stock. So IUKD is that. It's a BlackRock fund. But John, any individual stock that you is dividend pay you'd like or not?
I mean, in my portfolio, I'm just looking at it. H&T pays a nice dividend. That sold off a bit since I bought it. And I do think it's somewhat misunderstood. You know, it's known as a pawnbroker, but it's actually a very, very good business.
Okay.
Pawnbroking, you know, it's got that sort of reputation of being a bit grubby, but this is a very, very well-run company. You know, as a pawnbroker, it's also a retailer, but with a twist. And I said it does foreign exchange as well.
Alan Jones, in fact, is obviously more research than us on seeing machines. He said, see cash disclaimer on RS. Working capital increased due to the timing of the Guardian inventory deliveries, leading to an increased level of inventory and receivables at the 30th of June 2023. Yep. And his inventory levels are sufficient to support demand for H1 full year 2024, which will unwind along with receivables. So they bought that. They use more cash to buy more stock, basically.
That's the kind. But it is, you know, we've always said that scaling is a difficult thing to do. That cash is obviously there to help seeing machines scale. And to be honest, I mean, looking at a company with £35 million on the balance sheet or dollars, you know, cash is not my immediate worry there.
Phil said, right move. Any guys, if the stock gets pulled down because of the current negativity, then would it be interesting if you chaps are buying back shares over the last 15 years? I did hold right move a while back, it went up a little bit, and then I got bored with it. So, I would say go for smaller. It's a fabulous company, it's a market leader, but like I said, it doesn't get hit. You don't see many opportunities. I mean, it won't get hit that much. I would look at say maybe it's competitor on the market, which has been hammered a bit more. And like I said, they've got a decent amount of cash. What are they valued at now on the market, for example? They are, they are a 44 million market cap.
Yeah,
they've got literally, I'm just casting it, we've got literally 10 million in cash, 12 million in cash, 11 million in cash. They are going to be profitable. And I think they're going to go the right direction. But
I like about on the market is, you know, you would look at them and think, oh, they're just a, you know, right move wannabe. But they're actually developing a really nice suite of products, what I would sort of, you know, call prop tech. To support the industry, to support landlords, you know, all that sort of stuff. So I think there's a little bit more going on the market than perhaps the market gives them credit for.
Yeah, another one is lots of areas around that area as well. Alico, which is a software company for building companies and for design and all that stuff, they'll have an uptick in. I think Paul Hill owns those actually. Things like that, you know, that you wouldn't see, you wouldn't. It's not directly involved. But I mean, there's also the house builders. I mean, I was looking at Gleeson. Even at these levels, I think I was looking at the where is it? The forecast here, pretty much, and they were saying 50-odd percent by 46% forecast there. Five analysts, and they're saying average of like 46% on that. At least
you're battling horrible sentiment with that sector, though.
I know, but do you know what? That's when to buy, though. That is when to buy. That's absolutely when to buy. I mean, if you know, once the sentiment starts changing, that'll be up like 20%, 30%.
I just have this feeling, and it is a feeling, but also based on some of the data we've seen from the housing sector.
I've got a feeling,
but I just got a feeling this could rumble on for some time. There's disquiet in the housing market. You know, there's lot of things that need to be resolved. Housing affordability is bad. We haven't seen the end of the cost of living crisis, and it's just a political hot potato. Housing is a political nightmare. So there's a lot of shenanigans to come there, I suspect.
Let me just before we go for our break for a week. Have you seen this? This is about sales growth. This is very important. I did tweet the Bank of England. I don't know why I did that, but just pause, for heaven's sake. You say on your website, it takes 2 years for interest rates to kick in. And we haven't even seen 2 years of rate rises yet. Things are rolling over, okay? Sales growth in supermarkets slowed in August, not only down to the weather. But if you look at this, even on a volume basis, it went down 3.8%, right? And this is NIQ, this is the most up-to-date data you can get. This is actually data right now, or looking back in the last month, not like the Bank of England looks back 6 or 3 months. But so he says, head of retail and business insight, he said, despite easing inflation, most consumers remain pessimistic about their financial situation in the coming 3 months, with 60% anticipating they'll be severely or moderately impacted by rising living costs. We haven't seen the start of the cost of living crisis yet. And the Bank of England keep on ratcheting up the... Are you nuts? Just pause. Wait. Before you kill businesses off.
I do wonder, this is where you sort of get another risk, that actually... You know, people are buying less, but obviously spending more. You know, that sort of kind of is supportive of the retail industry. But will people get into the habit of just buying less?
Realize you don't need to spend all that much money. It's quite elastic, though. People start, things start coming down in price, they buy more, I expect. We've always been a consumer being or animal. But do you know what was very interesting, actually? I realized the core inflation, right? It does include cigarettes, alcohol, food, energy. It does include rent, doesn't it? Core inflation. Mm. And yet, what the Bank of England don't understand is that's what they look at. That's the figure they look at, core inflation. So what the Bank of England don't understand, or if they do understand it, why they're acting so stupid, is if they put up interest rates again, landlords with mortgages have to put up rents. That plays into core inflation. They're not going to help it at this stage anymore. It's going to make it worse.
Landlords are putting out the market. At a pace. It's funny. I think someone was looking at, I think the analysis came from Savills, and I think they were looking at capital gains tax receipts to work out how many landlords were selling up. Obviously, second properties where you're liable for capital gain. Then you have the sort of double whammy, is that landlords sell up. So there's more people chasing, you know, less housing stock, rental stock. And so landlords can put their rents up, bills, but because there is demand. Again, it sort of goes back to why, you know, the housing market is such a, you know, it's so important in the UK.
Absolutely.
I would tend to still steer clear of anything where there might be political intervention, which is why if you want to get into the housing market, the platforms like Rightmove and the market are a much safer place to be.
Two quick stories here. But I mean, look at this. The public sector borrowing below forecast. Everyone's talking about this. Oh, it's below forecast. That's good. But if you delve down and look at the figures, they're not good at all. Total debt now in the UK is reached 2.58 trillion. At the end of July, right? That's 98.5% of GDP. But still below 100%. That's good, isn't it?
I thought it had breached 100%.
I mean, but look at this.
This is what I'd heard.
The government paid debt interest of 7.7 billion, the highest on record in July. That's their interest payments alone. $7.7 billion. That's another reason to bring the keep the, you know, the sort of interest rates down. But don't worry, if you're a CEO of a FTSE company, you won't be struggling too much. The average pay there was $3.91 million.
It's okay.
CEO of a FTSE.
Yeah. It's okay. We've got trickle down economics.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not trickling down that fast.
It isn't trickling down at all because it's a fallacy.
I know exactly. That is nuts. Purple bricks. Yeah, purple bricks.
excuse me.
Yeah, right. Move is the same old time. Away from just boring driving. My driving is not boring. It saves lives, actually,
middle
Michael.
Middle lane driver.
No,
middle lane, Justin. There you go.
You realise if you just did me the favour and we're away for a week. If you're travelling around, put your car on cruise control on the motorway and see how erratic human beings are. And you, in a few years' time, we'll come back to the thing. Why do they even let humans drive cars? They're insane. Anyway, it's time for a break, I think. A week's break from taking us off. Thanks very much
for
watching.
We'll be back on, what is it? Yeah. The 4th, I think it would be.
We'll be back to work properly.
Monday the 4th of September.
Yeah. Yeah, remember the 4th. By all means, pass it around. Hit that subscribe button. And we'll speak then. In a few weeks' time. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Have a good holiday. See you later.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.